Very nice to be here tonight. Nice to see everyone here. Tonight I would like to tell how I became a Christian. How the Lord worked in my experience and how I was brought to know my sins forgiven. We're going to read three different places in the Word of God. The first is in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and a well-known verse, verse 23. This verse very clearly states why there needs to be a gospel message. Romans 3 and 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short or fall short of the glory of God." Our next reading will be in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll start reading at verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Verse 11. "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." And one final spot in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. In verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God will bless his word. I was born in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I lived on between the mainland, Nova Scotia, and Cape Breton Island most of my life. I had the distinct privilege of being born into a Christian home. My grandparents on my mother's side had come to know the Lord Jesus many years before. My mother had become a Christian when she was younger. My father's side, it was the same thing. And I had the privilege of being born into that home. And it is a great privilege to be born into a Christian home. Even though I was born into a Christian home, of course, I was not a Christian. And many people think because they are born into a home where the Bible is read, that they're okay. But that is not the case. As we read in Romans, that all have sinned, and all must be saved. So I was born into a Christian home. Growing up on Cape Breton Island, there was a lot of gospel preached around us. Every summer, there was gospel meetings. Sunday school on Sunday was just a part of life. And I grew up knowing that God loved the world so much that he sent his Son to this world to die for sins. I knew that. In fact, I believed that it was true. I believed that the Lord Jesus really did come. As I grew up, I remember thinking that I'm not really so bad I was homeschooled, and for the first part of my life, that preserved me from a lot. But it kind of left me with the impression that I'm not really so bad as, you know, some of my friends, some of my cousins' friends, like stuff they say. And I had the impression that I'm really not so bad. Once again, all have sinned. I remember the first time that I was troubled about my soul. There was tent meetings with Murray McCandless and one other brother, I can't remember his name, in a place called Bedeck, Cape Breton Island. And it seemed to me like those meetings went on for a year, although it was probably only a couple of months. And we went almost every night. And I remember sitting in a seat and thinking, hey, what's going to happen to me when I die? Do you ever think that? What's going to happen to me? What does this mean? Like many Christians' children, I grew up knowing about the Lord's coming. And it's true, it is, it's going to happen. It might happen tonight. And the thought of death didn't bother me when I was 8 years old or nine. I didn't think too much about dying. But I thought a lot about the Lord coming. And deep down I knew that if the Lord came, I was going to be left behind. And one side I thought about the car keys and all the money that was going to be left when the Lord came. But the other side I thought, what about what's going to happen then? The men preaching the gospel, they say that when the Lord comes and you're not saved, there's no hope for you. And that's true. I remember getting up in the middle of the night, probably like a lot of Christians' children, and going to check and see if mom and dad were still there. I remember one day in Walmart, couldn't find my mom. Convinced the Lord had come, I was almost brought to my knees. The Lord was speaking to me when I was young. So this went on for years. Where we lived, there was one road on Cape Breton Island, a dirt road that went up the mountain, and it was all family. So I'm an only child, but I'm not really, because all my cousins were all around me. And I took comfort growing up knowing that some of my cousins were not saved. And I thought, if the Lord comes, there's these of my cousins, and this cousin is older, he has his license, and we'll be okay. That was how I thought. When I was 13, 14, we moved from Cape Breton Island to New Glasgow, where my parents still live. And I went from the country, where I could go out the back door and walk over the mountain, to living in town. Now, to a 13, 14-year-old, there's a lot of stuff you can get into. And I thought, man, this is great. I miss the woods, but look at all this stuff. This is fun. This morning we talked about the God of this world blind the minds. And something that he used to blind my mind was the thought that if you get saved, there's all this stuff that you won't be able to do. And to my way of thinking, it was more important to do all this stuff than to get saved. And all that stuff, you can do it. Might be fun. But the end of it, it's a place called hell. I was thinking about this the other day. There was a man at work, a scaffolder. He made good money. 32 years of age. He had life by the tail. He was doing all the fun stuff, the parties. We got to work one morning, and we got the news. They found him in Revelstoke, in his bed, overdosed. All the fun he could have, and it ended in a hotel room bed, dead. Where is he? It's empty. When I was 14, I was 15, I just turned 15. It was the winter. It was January. There was a lot of snow on the ground. The Lord had spoke to me up to this point, on and off. And I had basically, for the most part, thought I'm okay. When I feel like I don't have much time left, then I'll believe hard enough, and I'll get it. That was my thinking. So in January, it was a snowstorm. It was a bad one. I was on Cape Breton Island, and me and my uncle, we got the tractor out, and we went down the road to snowblow some other family down the road. Their lane was blowed in. It was about 10 o'clock at night. We thought it was better if their lane was cleared. He let me drive. I loved that. Driving the tractor, the snowblower. It was great. I remember I couldn't see what was behind me. It was so bad. So I jumped out quickly out of the tractor to check what was behind me. I left it idling. The blades were spinning slowly. And as I went around, walked beside the snowblower to see what was behind me, my ski pants caught on the outer edge of the blade. And it took me and just did a revolution with me, slammed me on the ground. And I remember thinking at that moment, it's too late. You've heard the gospel your whole life, and this is how it ends, in a snowblower. It seemed like I was in that snowblower forever. It beat me off the ground time and time. I tried to haul myself out. It would suck me back in. My uncle came running and shut the machine off. When he shut it off, my ankles were wrapped around the blades that shoot the snow out. That's how close it was. In the hospital that night, of all things, down a couple of rooms down, there was a horror movie playing. I don't know what it was, but the screaming was awful. And I remember thinking that could be you in hell right now. If I had have went through that machine, that would have been me. And that spoke to me like nothing else ever had. So what did I do? You know, God speaks very loud sometimes. Like an earthquake, like the jailer. What did I do when God spoke to me? I thought, shrugged it off. Boy, I was lucky. Yeah, that was cool. I made it through. I just started going on. I thought, I still need to get saved. Someday I'll get saved, but not right now. I was still in cast from that snowblower. It had torn a lot of ligaments in my legs, and I was in a snowmobile accident, head on with a car. As I flew over the car, my arm caught in the rearview mirror, spun me like that down the road. Again, God was speaking to me. And again, I did nothing about it. For some time. I became very convicted of the fact that I was a sinner. That God was trying to tell me something. That if I didn't listen to Him when He spoke, that I was going to be in hell because I deserved to be there. And in the months to come, I tried to be saved. I knew that, like John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And I almost made a great work out of trying to believe. It's almost like I gritted myself, just tried to believe as hard as I could, and 5 minutes later, nothing had changed. See, I was trying to believe. But the key is, who was I believing in? Who should I put my trust in? In Isaiah, I'm going to read it again. Isaiah 53, it says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. You see that? The Lord Jesus, what He did for us, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes, we are healed. I was sitting in my parents' basement. I had a buddy over for the night. The next morning, we were going to Prince Edward Island. We're going to go to the beach for the weekend. I remember sitting in front of the computer. And I thought, man, after all the times the Lord has spoken to you, what do you think the next one's going to be? I wanted to be saved more than anything. Before, when I had half-heartedly wanted to be saved, that wasn't enough. I wanted to be saved more than anything. It was the most important thing to me. And I remember reading in my Bible, John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And I thought like this, the Lord Jesus came and He died for me to take my sins away. And all God wants me to do is to put my trust in Him. That's it. I put my trust in Him. When God said that He was satisfied with what the Lord Jesus did, well, that's good enough for me. Is it good enough for you? Do you want something more? There's nothing more than the death of the Lord Jesus to take someone to heaven. And God promises that if you would put your trust in His Son, that your sins would be forgiven. That you could be in heaven. You wouldn't have to be fearful of dying. It's probably not nice to die. And I don't want to die. But I know if I do die, because of what the Lord Jesus did, I'll be in heaven. What about you? John, in the Bible here, has wrote different books. And in 1 John, he says, these things have I written unto you that you may know. Do you know tonight that you're saved? That your sins are forgiven? Because you can know. You can know because the Lord Jesus died to take your sins away. And God is satisfied. And if you would, in faith, put your trust in Him, your sins would be forgiven. Thank you very much.